Winter meetings continuing down in Orlando. Today is Manny Machado's day. That's what it sounds like. Everyone's focused on what the Orioles could end up doing with Machado. He'll be a free agent after next year. He's an absolute stud. Here's our TSN baseball analyst, Steve Phillips. Steve, take us through this Machado news. How would you handicap the chances of him actually being moved this offseason?
It's a very peculiar situation. I mean, he's in the same spot as Donaldson is. And the Orioles seem to be, I guess, saying that they don't think they're going to win, and therefore they're going to go ahead and move them. And you would think that they would at least try to sign him and negotiate a contract first before making a decision to just walk away from it. I don't quite understand that part of it. They haven't had any negotiations whatsoever. Machado has kind of made it clear he'd like to play shortstop as opposed to third base. They could use him at shortstop there. The other part of it that I don't understand is if they have any vision of re-signing him, they're much better served to trade him in season than now. Because if you trade him now and you try to sign him afterwards, you're going to give up a draft pick. If you trade him in season and he's traded during the year, then there's no draft pick compensation attached to that kind of player. So I don't know. You know, it's hard to know. And with the Orioles, they're the most difficult to predict because the owner gets involved so much in the baseball operations. He handcuffs the general manager and because they don't take risks on anything. And last year they had a deal done with Zach Britton going to the Astros, and at the last minute Peter Angelo said, no, I changed my mind, don't trade him. And so I don't know what to think about this. I mean, they gave money to Chris Davis that should have gone to Manny Machado. Why spend the money on Chris Davis and give him any dollar that could prohibit you from signing Machado in the future, who's a 26-year-old stud? So, And if you're going to trade for him now, how much are you going to be willing to give up if you actually want to keep him afterwards? So, you know, the Phillies seem to be in on it a bit. The Cardinals, I think, seem to be in on it a little bit. We'll see if the Giants get in on it and what they might do. They need a third baseman as well. So it'll be an interesting case study for Josh Donaldson's situation later in the year.
I want to just pick up on something that you said, Steve, earlier about the Oilers, the Orioles, maybe not having this idea that they're going to win. After what Giancarlo Stanton said about getting out of Miami, you know, new managers, new players, that always seemed, you know, there was no real traction to stay there. Do you sense that the top players, if they don't see a chance to win, are going to be a little bit more vocal and we see more of this type of movement with star players?
Well, it's a good question, right? Is this going to set a tone for something? I mean, typically, a team that signs a player to a long-term deal and can afford it, you know, also thinks they're going to compete. Now, if you start doing a 10- and 12-year deals, there will be windows within a 12-year contract that you may not be as competitive as you were when you first signed the player, and you can't really let the players control all of that. You know, I think that for Stanton, you know, it was a unique situation considering the change in ownership down there, the small market, what a significant percentage of their payroll he was eating up. I mean, listen, he's about 25-30% of their payroll, and it was only going to go up. And it was, especially if they were going to continue to cut payroll, it made sense to go somewhere else and try to compete. It made no sense for the Marlins to give him that contract in the first place. But the new owner thought, maybe I'll make a run at winning. Maybe it'll help me sell the team. It could be I'll take a loss there. You get the $1.2 billion when I sell the team. And as much as people want to criticize Jeffrey Loria's methods, he got a new stadium that he didn't have to pay for, and he got $1.2 billion for a team that he paid $165 million for. So I don't know. I think he actually did a pretty good job overall.
With Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst, Ross Atkins said what you'd expect him to say yesterday, that he doesn't care about Stanton going to the Yankees and what people are clamoring about and talking about and how that affects the odds in Vegas. But let's be honest, he has to be at least concerned to an extent. I mean, the Yankees were already better than the Jays, and now they're that much better than they were on Friday. I mean, how could this possibly not affect what the Jays think they're going to do over the next 2 months?
Well, let me translate general manager's speak for you. When a general manager says they don't care, it means he cares. Because as a general manager, you care about everything. You worry about everything. You're concerned about everything. And effectively, what I think he was trying to say is that we're not going to make a knee-jerk reaction trying to keep up with the Joneses. Instead, he said, I don't care, which isn't really accurate. Obviously, you have to gauge where you are, where the competition is, and what you need to do to be able to compete. And he does that. He just isn't going to go. And you know, like people are saying, well, the Red Sox need to go out and sign J.D. Martinez right now to keep up with the move that Stanton going to the Yankees. You know, he's not going to play that game. They're going to stick to a plan. They should reconsider the plan. Certainly, you have to ask yourself the question. But, you know, in the end, like I think the Orioles and Rays should punt. I think they should sell. I think they should disassemble. They can't keep up with the Red Sox and the Yankees. The one thing where the way the Blue Jays are different is that if Aaron Sanchez is what he was in 2016, and he's that guy this year, along with Stroman and the advancements that he's made with Estrada and Happ, if they can add another starting pitcher, if they can fortify their bullpen, I mean, they have, you know, in order to beat the Yankees or Red Sox, you're going to have to pitch against them. You're going to have to outpitch them. And there's a chance that the Jays can do it. And so I don't abandon the plan. I stick to it. I still try to sign Donaldson. You know, there's speculation that they're in on asking about Marcell Ozuna today down here that, you know, with the Marlins, that he's the next guy they'd move. The problem is that for the Marlins, they have every right to ask for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Bo Bichette in that deal as the lead guy and then get something else in return for 2 years of Marcell Ozuna. The Jays can't make that trade. They can't play that. They're much better served to sign a free agent than to do that. And I don't think they're going to sign a free agent beyond understanding that they only have Donaldson for this year. So Donaldson's the key. And what I don't get is, why not engage in negotiations? Why not at least see where you are? Because there's still a really good pool of players out there that if you sign Donaldson, then you might invest in some different ways. You might be more creative with what you're willing to take on as contracts or what you might be willing to give up in the trade market. But without that, without knowing that, then you're really, you know, setting yourself up for bringing in players in January who are looking for the one-year deal. You're trying to capture lightning in a bottle. So you're going to try to get that one guy in a bounce-back season, hope that he plays well for you, and that it can help you win this year. And then if you don't get Donaldson signed, you make a decision about whether you want to completely take it apart or whether you want to try to keep trying to compete.
Well, Atkins keeps talking about this core that they have, and he was speaking with the media recently, and he said, quote, fortunately, we're in a position because of our core that we don't have to do anything to start the season. I mean, what core is he talking about? This was a core that won 76 games. Like, I'll give you Sanchez and Stroman and Ozuna and Donaldson, clearly. But if you think Tulowitzki and Martin and Smoke is going to replicate what he did a year ago, and Kendrys Morales and Kevin Pillar, if that's a core that he thinks is going to compete with the Yankees and Red Sox, he's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
what core is he talking
about? And again, I hear what you're saying, and I understand what he said. You know, because, you know what, we two as general managers, and I guess as I'm on this side of it, I realize maybe we aren't as good at it as we think. I mean, it's a little bit of a spin job that he's trying to get people to buy into Martin and Tulowitzki being productive this year. Now, I do know the Jays believe that they had a lot go wrong last year, and if one or two of those things didn't go wrong, they would have been absolutely in the mix for a wild card. But that was because the wild card fell back to the pack a little bit, and nobody really seemed to separate, and the Twins finally, you know, edged out everybody else. But it's not often that 86 wins or 85 wins are going to get you a wild card spot. So, so what he's saying is, I'm not going to be panicked right now, and that's the message he wants out there, that, look, I'm comfortable. And what he's saying is, I have a warm body to play every position, is really what he said. That's the GM speak, is that I actually have a player that I know I can slide in at every position, so we can start this way. It may not be what I want to do, and it may not make us the most competitive, but I at least know I have that I can go out there and be in a position to try to compete, understanding that I want to do more. I want to desperately get better and improve, but I'm also a bit concerned that I may not be able to do it, so I don't want to oversell either. So there's a lot of GM speak going on in there. We spin, we dance, we try to oversell in some areas, undersell in others, and never create expectations, because you can only disappoint once you create those expectations.
So, Steve, you were talking about the importance of engaging in negotiations with Donaldson. And it seems to me that it's not just engaging with Donaldson, it's also what the ripple effects could be for potential other deals, adding other players that could make your team stronger and better. So is there any reason why they're not engaging with Josh Donaldson in negotiations?
That is a great question. I don't understand it. It would have been a priority for me in the offseason because to me it is the direction. It is the wind vane that tells you which direction the wind's blowing and which direction you should go. So it would have been my November thing. Now, what I do know is they had not engaged with him as of yesterday. I know that. They had not engaged him as of yesterday. Now, Dan Lozano, the agent, who also, by the way, is Manny Machado's agent, yes. he is in Orlando and has shown up here. I think he got in either yesterday or today, but he is here. And so he's available for a meeting. It's not like that they can't find a window within their windows of meeting with other teams to sit down and talk about it. Now, maybe they'll wait until, you know, arbitration numbers get submitted. A lot of times that can be the impetus to start to drive a conversation around contract, and you kind of wait for that value for this season and work off of that. So that could certainly be something. But, you know, the interesting part of it is that neither the Orioles nor the Blue Jays have had any conversations about the player. Like, the Orioles were talking about trading Machado without even making an attempt to try to sign him. Now, why wouldn't you try? Why wouldn't you? I mean, don't you owe it to your fan base? Now, the Orioles are peculiar, as I said, because they didn't even send in a submission for Ohtani. Dan DeCat, their general manager, said, yeah, we don't believe in the posting system, philosophically opposed to the posting system, so we didn't participate. What that means is my owner doesn't want to write a $20 million check in one season, so we didn't want to do it, even though it's a player you could get for that has a $200 million value. We can get him for $23 million. We don't want to do it because we don't want to write the check for $20 million right now. It's bizarre to me. It's malpractice, quite honestly, but it's bizarre. You know, some of the decision-making, there's logic behind it, and you know, there will be a reason and a method of the madness, because there's really smart guys. Who there's a smart guy? I mean, Atkins and Shapiro are smart. They've got a plan. It's just different than the plan I would have had to start to initiate and carry on those negotiations.
Well, and the truth is, I mean, using the Baltimore analogy and applying it here, is there are marching orders from behind the scenes that we're not privy to. And my concern in Toronto is, with this crew, is the marching orders are do whatever you have to convince people to buy tickets and to keep loading up the Rogers Center and believing that this team is something that they're not. And that comes with the gig. You know, if you're an employee of the team and you're told this is what you got to do, this is what you got to say. But I have this team won 76 games, and I hear what you said. And Atkins has told me that personally before, that if you look beyond the first month of the season, they were a much better team than their record would indicate. But they're also the oldest team in the league. You know, they're also a team that has really. They did what they did 2 years in a row, and back-to-back appearances in the ALCS was a blast, but they got old real quick. And Anthopoulos unloaded the system, and it's going to take them a while to reload. And the Yankees got really good really quickly. And the Red Sox kind of have a combination of young and old with Devers and Benintendi and, you know, Mookie Betts to go along with Pedroia and some older players. But I think that is probably what's happening here, Steve. Just me reading the tea leaves, they want people to believe that they're better than they really are. Well, and the plan might be for them to not be that good, but they're not going to tell people that.
Yeah. I mean, you could close your eyes and dream along with them that Sanchez and Stroman and Happ and Estrada could bounce back and do it. Now, you know, when you have a lot of ifs, they don't always turn out in the positive. It's just the nature of the beast. Some do, some don't. Some are kind of in between. But they're hoping for Donaldson. They have to have some level of hope that they're going to get a bounce back performance from Martin and Tulowitzki to where they're a little bit better overall. And so, you know, that's definitely a possibility that they're going to get a little bit of pushback there. But can you expect the same thing from Justin Smoke? You know, what are you going to get from Morales this year? So there's still a lot of questions about this team. There's some part of it they're going to go in with a hope and a dream that it's going to get a little bit better from some of the guys. And it's not unfair to expect it. But the reality is not everybody gets better in the same year. Not everybody bounces back. Some guys actually can get worse. So there are a lot of questions. The roster's not put together yet. They will add players to it. The fact that they did check in on Ozuna is good, because at least they're not giving up on even the potential of that, although I think it's extremely unlikely that they're able to put that sort of a deal together.
Thank you, Steve. Always appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, you got it.
There's Steve Phillips, our Jays and baseball analyst and insider.